There's less than 1 month left until the voting actually begins. How do you energize how do you energize your supporters to actually turn out on caucus night?
I'm feeling really good about the commitment of my supporters, and they've, you know, really come through during the last weeks. I'm not taking anything for granted. I expect this to be competitive until the end, but the support from Iowans who have committed to caucus for me is very exciting. So we're going to run hard, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure people turn out and bring family members and friends, because Iowa families have a lot at stake in this election. A new president is going to walk into the Oval Office on January 20th, 2017, and we can't afford it to be a Republican who will rip away all the progress we've made. So I'm just going to keep making my case to Iowans and looking forward to these last weeks.
President Obama is expected to take executive action on gun control measures, and you've been saying for a few months that you'd take executive action yourself if you're elected president. I'm wondering, why not use the bully pulpit to get Congress to pass a law like the Brady bill that your husband signed?
Well, I think we have to do both. I've advocated for comprehensive background checks that would close the gun show loophole and close the online loophole and close what's called the Charleston loophole. And I also feel strongly about reversing the blanket immunity from liability that's been given to gun makers and sellers, as well as preventing, you know, would-be terrorists from buying guns who are on the no-fly list. But I think this is a very serious and urgent matter when you lose 90 people a day to gun violence, when you have 33,000 people a year. We've got to act. And when I came out with my proposals for common sense gun safety measures, I did say that in the absence of congressional action, I would use executive authority to go as far as would be possible under the law. And I applaud the president for taking a hard look at that, and I believe he will take some actions to require more gun sellers to do background checks. But I don't think that's enough, and I think we're going to have to keep pushing forward on the political front, and I intend to do that, to take on the gun lobby and to, you know, work with responsible gun owners, of which there are many millions, who actually in large numbers support the common sense approaches that I'm advocating.
New polling data after San Bernardino showed about 53% of Americans oppose a ban on assault weapons that was in the Brady bill that's now expired. It also showed that more Americans now oppose gun control than support it. Is public opinion moving in a different direction than the one you're proposing?
Well, I think it depends upon what people are asked, because I have seen consistent support for comprehensive background checks. And there is a lot of support not only in the general public, but as I said, even among gun owners. And we have to keep making the case about how we keep guns out of the wrong hands. Obviously, that means we need more information in the data that is reviewed from domestic abuse cases, for example, from commitments, for example. So I think that people are being cautious about what they think is achievable, but comprehensive background checks continue to have very broad support, and I think that's the place where we need to focus our political energy.
I covered you in 2007, and I don't remember you talking about your dad teaching you to shoot a gun back then. I'm wondering, did you go hunting? And why talk about that childhood experience now in the context of the gun debate?
Well, actually, I did. It caused quite an exchange with me and then Senator Obama, because I did say I had respect for people who were responsible gun owners and users, and that I had been taught to shoot by my dad and had gone hunting. And so I, you know, laid that out as, you know, my own experience. It's not that I am one of those people who can be accused of, you know, anti-gun no matter what. That's not who I am. That's not what my experience or background suggests. But I am deeply disturbed by the level of gun violence in America. So I think that for those responsible gun owners who, you know, value the traditions of hunting or shooting or collecting, you know, that's why I want them to join in trying to prevent people who shouldn't be getting guns in the first place from getting their hands on them, because there's, you know, a clear history of increasing and terrible homicide, suicide, and avoidable accident numbers that I think we should take seriously and act on.
Safety at home and abroad is a major issue on the campaign trail. How do you respond to the accusation that's likely to be part of the general election conversation as well, that you and President Obama, quote unquote, created ISIS?
Well, you know, the facts are my friends here, because clearly that is absolutely untrue. I understand the exaggerated and often inflammatory remarks made by the Republicans. But, you know, the truth is that President Obama came into office and was elected in large measure because of his promise to take on the wars that he'd inherited from the prior administration, which he did. In fact, he inherited from George W. Bush a deadline for getting troops out of Iraq. That wasn't Barack Obama. That was George W. Bush, who said that all American troops would be gone by the end of 2011 unless the Iraqis wanted them to stay. And the then government under Prime Minister Maliki did not want us to stay because I was deeply involved in the negotiations. And the conditions that we set for being able to stay, to continue to train and support the Iraqi army or provide intelligence or other unique capabilities, were conditioned on making sure that our troops would be treated appropriately. And that was a condition Maliki would never accept. So the George W. Bush agreement was fulfilled. Our troops left. And unfortunately, the many promises that Maliki had made to both the Obama and the Bush administration were quickly forgotten. Now I think we have a very important approach that is being undertaken to help rebuild the Iraqi army, to get it back to where it was before Maliki began to dismantle it and make it a tool of sectarian political purpose. We're also helping to reconstitute the Sunni fighters that had been part of the success in going after al-Qaeda in Iraq. And we're seeing some success, as we have just recently seen in Ramadi and Tikrit and other places. So I know that some on the Republican side want to send tens of thousands of American troops back to the Middle East. I'm against that. I think it would be wrong, and I think it would play into the hands of ISIS and other extreme jihadi groups. And I will continue to support the approach that I've laid out, which intensifies on the approach that President Obama has taken, and not to support the kind of calls for thousands of American troops that, you know, those on the Republican side are making.
Final quick question again about the caucuses. The Democratic Party has taken steps so Iowans who are out of state or who can't get the whole evening off can participate on caucus night. You've raised concerns about the plight of shift workers and others who can't get that much time off. Do those actions on the part of the party address your concerns?
Well, I think the party has taken some important steps forward, and, you know, we will evaluate how much more access that provides to people who have the desire to participate. But I applaud the steps that the party has taken to try to broaden the universe of caucus participants, because I do think it's important, and it's something that many people, including leaders within the Democratic Party in Iowa, have called for, and I'm going to, you know, do everything I can to get as many people to caucus for me and as many people to participate as possible.